like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Sing it with me tonight. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time with all your heart. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Do you feel that way tonight? Amen. We actually have quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Wes Willis if he don't mind to come and pray over these tonight. Sister Connie Badilla turns in request to pray for her cousin Carissa Royce. She was shot in Las Vegas on Monday. Please pray for her salvation, healing, and peace of mind. So a lot of folks there needing our prayer with that event. Just remember Brother Daniel Willis fighting kidney stone symptoms. So let's remember that. Brother Keith Phillips finished his second round of chemo today. So I'm sure he covered our prayers. He's feeling a little run down, I think, after this round. So let's just pray, Lord, give Keith strength and keep his immune system healthy and take care of our brother. This is for Harold Davis. This is Brother Bud Davis's nephew. Had emergency surgery last night. They gave him a 50-50 chance of living and making it through the next 5 days. So very serious need there. Pray for Daniel Harrison, a friend of ours. He had a tumor on the brain. There's nothing else they can do for him. He's in a lot of pain. I also want to pray for strength in his Christian walk. That's also from Brother Bud and Sister Lisa Davis. Please pray for Sister Brenda Harmon. She was admitted to the hospital today with severe abdominal pain. Sister Ruth Ann Carter wants to thank you for your prayers for her neighbor, Matt Shepherd. He has been in rehab in Abingdon, Virginia for several weeks. He can stand, get out of bed by himself. Truly a miracle. Continue to pray for salvation and learning to walk again. So she wants to thank the Lord for that and for your prayers. Pray for Heather Cato, several needs in her body. Also, please remember my wife in prayer for healing of her body since her operation. That's from Brother Joel Moyer. Also, some unspoken prayer request. He's got a brother also that him and his wife have been separated, and that he's just asking that God move in their situation. Also, remember Sister Yvetta Collins. She's sick, unable to be in church. Also, an unspoken prayer request for Sister Yvetta. And please continue to pray for Sister Elizabeth Collins, doing better. Doctors are calling her the miracle girl. They've put her name back on the waiting list for a lung transplant. Just pray that she won't get any infection that would hinder the transplant and that a lung will be found quickly. So very serious needs there tonight. If we could stand as Brother Wes comes to take these needs to the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Father, as Brother Joel was reading all of these requests, Lord, and there are several here, Lord, it made me realize that no matter what you're going through in life, there's always some brother or sister out there who's facing something harder and struggling with something much worse. And Lord, while that doesn't give me comfort, it helps me to enter in and to pray for them. Lord, when you see all these needs before us, it's not overwhelming anymore. It used to be to me, Lord, but it's not overwhelming anymore because I know that you have every single situation that was brought before you tonight. You have it in control already. Lord, I believe that with all my heart. I love you and I worship you and I know that that's the truth. Lord, with the terrible things that are going on in the world around us right now, it just seems like it's coming to a boil. And with the shootings out in Las Vegas, all the people that were killed, all the people that were injured and affected, Lord, God, I just ask you to have mercy, Lord, on those who have been granted mercy. And Father, just keep us strong. Help us not to become discouraged by all the darkness around us, but help us to look up and look and see our redemption is coming even closer every minute, Lord. Lord, with this explosion at Eastman, I just want to praise your holy name, Lord. I worked there for so long, and I could see the danger every day. It was such a depressing place anyway. And then for, you know, to be in constant danger, Lord, and of explosions. And Lord, to hear that these explosions took place today, Lord, and not one person was killed. I want to thank you for that, Father. That is such a blessing that such a terrible thing happened and not one life was taken. And Lord, you can take a situation like that and you can use it to make people look to you. Just like all these other dark things that are happening, some of the children out there, Lord, some of your children are going to look at these things and instead of becoming depressed, they're going to look to you. They're going to look to you for the answers. They're going to look to you, Father. And some of the last minute workers are going to be coming in. And Lord, your word is still coming forth from this pulpit and other pulpits across the world. And I thank you for that. And I just ask you, Lord, to come and speak to us tonight. Let the work be finished. Let it be complete, Lord. As your word comes across, Lord, we know it won't return to you void. And Father, we just ask that you speak to us, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to grow. Help us to become closer to you. Lord, we're just looking forward to what you have to say tonight. We worship you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing this together tonight. You thought I was worth saving. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. Thought that I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life. So I could be free. I could be whole. I could tell everyone I know. Thought that I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. One more time. He thought I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving.
Gee. You can be seated tonight. The brothers would like to come lift the offering. Let's sing that Saved by Grace.
Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, and he turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Yeah, when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my sins are all washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. Help me sing it. Name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my sins are all washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. 'Cause when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, my sins are all washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Are you thankful for that tonight? Brother Mac Carter, I believe, has a song for us tonight. Let's just pray for Brother Mac as he sings tonight.
I've been wanting to sing this a long time, ever since, almost as long as Brother Donnie's been preaching on the Book of Acts and talks about Paul, some of his problems, and some of our problems. So, y'all pray for me. I'm kind of nervous. I have traveled on some highways, and in truth, I'd rather not gone down. In need I look for some I thought were friends, but they cannot be found. I almost lost my faith, my hope, my mind. I nearly lost it all. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Now I don't regret a tear I shed, or a single path I've trod. And today you can take away this whole world. Just give me my God. On the scale of forever, every sacrifice I've made seems so small. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Read about a man long ago, much advantages in his life. read about a man long ago, much advantages in his life. He counted it as nothing, suffered for the cause of Christ. Shipwreck, beaten, and in prison, God's hero, the great apostle Paul. Oh, he counted it as zero and gladly paid the cost of the call. And I don't regret a tear I've shed, for a single path I've trod. And today you can take away this whole world, just give me my gold. On the scale of forever, every sacrifice made seem so small. So I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Now there's no way that those who are not called can understand those who are. They do not hear the sound of the trumpet, affected by that storm. Though the quest outweighs the questions, but the destination's worth more than it all. I put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call. Yes, I'll put it on the altar, and I say it's just the cost of the call.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's sing one more special together tonight. I think Brother Harry's going to sing the first verse here. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. His grace was amazing when it saved us, right? But I still need it every day. And I'm so thankful for that daily place to go to for the grace we need. Let's sing that.
My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow, when the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through
every day.
All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. Well, I've read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my forgiveness while he was dying on a tree. Please forgive me. need your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you. I will, Lord, until my dying day. I'll help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. If you need him today, let's stand and sing it. Well, please forgive me. Your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Until my dying day, that's a promise. Help us find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Let's sing the chorus again. Well, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you till my dying day.
Find a way
at your mercy. Please forgive me.
Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad? You're forgiven. Forgiven. Not only forgiven, but you're justified. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. It's certainly nice to be back home. Had some good services. Brother Joel forgot to announce Randy Babb's wedding Friday at 6:30. What about his wife-to-be? You may announce that too, or just him? Oh, she's invited. Sister Hannah's invited. All right. Sister Hannah Linichek is also invited to Brother Randy's wedding. So that's nice. That's always nice when the bride's invited. Amen. I heard Brother David did a good job. The brothers down in Newport did an outstanding job down there. The service is down there. Brother Aaron McGarry started it out on Friday afternoon about 3. Some old rough feller from Happy Valley took Saturday night. Then we had 2 services on Saturday morning with about a 15-minute break. And then we had lunch, 2 services Saturday afternoon. After lunch, 15-minute break, 2 services Saturday night. Then a preacher came to my room and stayed till 10 till 2 Sunday morning. So I feel so refreshed. So I'm glad to be back home. Amen. 6 services on Saturday. And each one was about 1 to 1.5 hours apiece. So the next time some of y'all go to sleep on me preaching 1 hour, you're in for it. Amen. Brothers did an outstanding job. I think services are available from Brother Barry's website, and I'm sure it'd be a blessing to you if you'd like to go there and and be able to archive those. Let's turn tonight again to the book of Acts, chapter 28. I spoke Saturday night on Friday night rather on chained to a dead man, and dealing with Paul chained to the Roman and the white dog and the black dog and all that. The 6 services on Saturday was in the convention type place there at that place. Saturday morning service, there was a door open and there was a black dog come inside the service and joined with us. But the night before that, I'd preached about the black dog being about like a Rottweiler, so this one was about like this. So all the brothers took it as a supernatural sign their dog had shrunk. Amen.
God bless you. Let's read together tonight. Acts chapter 28, verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And may I say, the book of Acts is still in continuation. And when they had appointed him a day, they came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And the old Roman is standing right there with him the whole time. Notice verse 24. And some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. Truly, every time truth has been spoken, this verse reoccurs again and again. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord as we pray? Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here tonight again, Lord, how we thank you for Wednesday night service. We're so grateful, Lord, during the midweek that we can be able to come together. Lord, no telling how many battles and sicknesses and things that these folks have went through this week, just from Sunday till now. And yet, Lord, you give us a time where we're able to break all this stuff during the midweek and be able to come together and feed on the Word and sing and rejoice. And I thank you for Wednesday night church, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you'd take your Word once again tonight and speak to us, Lord. You see these several prayer cloths that I have in my hand. You know the needs, dear God. I just bring them before you tonight, Father, believing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know when Elijah was here, the things that he touched was blessed. And we know that Paul, that brought handkerchiefs and aprons and things like that, that him preaching with it from his body, they could be taken and people were delivered and healed. We believe that this is Scripture. We have seen right here from our church literally hundreds upon hundreds of prayer cloths go out of here, Lord, in different parts of the world, different things that you have done. So it gives us faith tonight when we ask for these things to believe that you will move on their behalf. Now, Father, we ask that you would just anoint the Word of God. May it go forth to our hearts as we look into the great principles of the mystery of the kingdom of God. Speak to us tonight, Father, once again, we ask. For it's in the name of the living Word that we ask it, the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I find it so amazing now. These people have gathered together. They've come to Paul's residence by which this Roman centurion has worked it out where Paul would be able to have his own residence, yet being chained to the Roman guard. But it gave him a liberty that he would not have had he been turned over to the Praetorian. Now, the Praetorian guard was, of course, Nero or Caesar, whichever one it was at this time. It would have been their private guard. They would have been thrown in prison, and the liberty which Paul had would not have been granted him had he been there. But no doubt God gave him favor that he would be able to have this time where he'd be able to speak to the saints of God, be able to solidify their faith, actually be able to bring more to the Lord Jesus. So he starts it out, not on a vacation. He doesn't starting it out, you know, taking a month time to break, but he just goes right into it immediately. As it was Paul's custom, he adapted this, and it was, you can see it all the way from Philippi into the different places, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. So here he starts. Now, when he reaches Rome, knowing that the Spirit of God has led him there, he knows that Claudius, of course, a little while before this, has driven all the Jews out. Around 7,000 Jews that were there, they were driven out under the command of Claudius, but now they've been allowed to come back again because Nero's wife actually had converted to Judaism. So under this, it allows the Jews to be able to return back in. Paul has written the book of Romans, which has been there about 3 years, something like that, written in 60 AD. This is 62, 63 AD when the time frame of this happened. So he wants to be able to address to the Jews first and then see how it will go to the Gentiles. So they talk about it and they want to come back and give him this set time. They said, well, we'll come back because we want to know what you've heard about this sect. We want to know where you stand on it because it's talked about around the whole world. And we want to know what your stand is on. So you imagine him praying, asking the Spirit of God, Lord, help me. Give me the words to say. Help me to be able to address it the right way. So they all come back together now. They come to his residence. No doubt it was kind of known among the leadership of the Jews. So here they come together. Now I want you to notice how that Paul is now knowing that for some of them, he's more than likely going to have one opportunity. I guarantee you he prayed. He sought God. He asked God for divine leadership to help him to know what to say. And he starts out, Luke doesn't exactly tell us what Paul's opening thoughts were. But he says that he began to speak to them about the kingdom of God. Now remember, these are Jews. And they were looking for the Messianic Davidic covenant, which was going to be the setting in of the prophecy of Daniel, which was going to be the fifth great kingdom of the world. It was going to be the kingdom by which Daniel saw the stone come out of the mountain, which was the fifth kingdom, and it was going to absolutely destroy all the Gentile kingdoms of the world. So for them to believe in a kingdom, they had no problem in that. But Paul is going to address the kingdom of God. Now whenever he approaches it under the messianic advent of the Lord Jesus, now you imagine these people which have looked for this all of their life. They've looked at it for years and years and years. Now automatically some of them go to raising up red flags and some of them, you know, not sure where he's going. So he starts with Moses, comes down through the law and the prophets and goes to laying it out. I imagine it must have been quite a series. Now he dealt with it from the morning to the afternoon. You imagine him dealing with the types and the shadows and the lamb and all the covenants that God gave to the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, starting out with the Abrahamic covenant, on down through there. Then he goes into the tabernacle of the wilderness. He goes into the types, the shadows, the blood, the mercy seat. He deals with the silver being redemption, the gold being deity. He deals with the color of purple. He deals with violet. He deals with the blue being the heavenly. Don't worry, I ain't going to preach it all tonight. But he went through all of those things, and you imagine, but he's ultimately leading to one thing, to where he'll be able to bring in the son of David and point that it is not one that's going to come, which is the seed of Solomon or the seed of one of those, but it was actually Christ Jesus. Now, no doubt there was many of them sitting there and they were spellbound in that this anointed man of God would be able to take the word which they had studied for years and years. You know, there's something about it. Even when people that don't believe what we believe, and yet they will hear some of the men of God around this message preach. And maybe it's at a funeral. And then men don't also always say, Brother Ram said this and Brother Ram said that. But with the wisdom which has been imparted to them through the revealed word of this hour, and they will preach things and others will sit there and think, where in the world did they get that? They get it from the source that if they found out where they got it, they'd say there's in a cult. But the very thing that they're marveling at is what imparts to them the wisdom that makes them above and beyond theologians which have been trained for years and years and years. And they sat there mesmerized by what's being brought out. And they're thinking, where did they get this? Well, if they knew, then they would say, that's a cult, really? So you rejoice in what you heard until you found out where it come from. And then you thought it was a cult. Make up your mind. Is it wonderful or is it a cult? Praise the Lord. Now, no doubt it must have been absolutely overwhelming as Paul began to lead by the messianic signs, because God had promised David, as we looked at it last Wednesday night, God had promised him, through the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. So they were looking for a kingdom, but they were not looking for a kingdom nature. Now what they're looking for is a natural kingdom through the son of David, which was Ben, B-E-N, which means son. So they were looking for the messianic Davidic covenant, one that would come and sit upon the throne of his father David, and he would take out the Romans. He would kill all them that's defied Israel. My, he'd rebuild the temple or whatever more. But when he come, he was pushed around. He was hated. He was despised and rejected. Thinking, how could that be a Messiah? He's going to be a great ruler. You imagine whenever Paul laid the foundation and then he began to build the walls and then he put the windows in and he done all this. And then when he got ready to hang the door and he hung the door and said the door's name is Jesus. Some of them said, I was wondering where he stood on all that stuff. I can't take no more of this. And they up and left. But you know what? No doubt there was some elect sitting there and they thought, my Lord, I've never heard anything like this in my life. No wonder something has been pulling me. No wonder I cannot be satisfied with Judaism. I cannot be satisfied with the law. No wonder something inside of me has been pulling me. What was it? It was the kingdom nature calling for kingdom subjects which had not been yet born by kingdom bread. Amen. The Almighty God was now breathing the breath of life by these anointed ministers all over the world in order to bring these subjects into the kingdom. Oh, praise God. Now, notice in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, the Lord Jesus saying this, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, John the Baptist was the first one, of course, to start preaching about this in the New Testament. Then the Lord Jesus follows up. Now, they wondering and looking when Jesus says the kingdom of God will not come with observation, with sight. Will he be able to see it? But he says they'll not say it's here or it's there, but behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now you imagine these Jews as they hear the Lord Jesus say this and they're thinking, what is he talking about? The kingdom of God is within you, because in their mind, the Jews are not spiritual. To them, when God said slay a lamb, that's all it meant. It meant slay a lamb, take the blood, use the blood as paint. They did not understand spiritual symbolism. They did not understand many of the things, no doubt, that they did. Because God was dealing with them, he gave them a natural land, a natural covenant. Everything about it pretty much was natural. But little did they know they was acting out the type, that the antitype would become real in reality. And yet to look at them at a spiritual kingdom, they said, what is he talking about? The kingdom of God is within you. How can that be? We're looking for a messianic kingdom to set up on the earth and set up a real throne, a real temple, a real place. And Jesus said, nope, it ain't coming that way. It is a kingdom nature. Amen. A kingdom nature. So what is it? Living in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's not in Jerusalem, it's not in Washington, D.C., but it is a spiritual nature by which you are baptized by the King himself into the kingdom. You know, friend, it's no wonder that it was so hard for them to understand. And they was looking for the Romans to become dispossessed. But actually, what was going to become dispossessed was the devil. He's going to come by the new birth, and the Lord is going to dispossess Satan, amen, out of our natures. Instead of kicking out the Romans, he's going to kick out the devil. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you imagine as they heard him preach these things, they said, what is the man talking about? And here comes his forerunner. And he's saying, the kingdom's coming, the kingdom's coming. And they said, oh, praise God, hallelujah, here it's coming. I want to sign up, I want to join, I want to be in his army. Amen. John said, all right, here's what you got to do to be in the army of the king. Repent! I said, what in the world? Who ever heard of calling an army together under the banner of repentance? It's the first time it's ever been done. Amen. But because of the kind of kingdom he wanted to start it, you don't have that M16s and bayonets and all that sort of thing first. It starts with this first, repentance. Repentance, why? This is the introduction into the kingdom nature. So the dispossession is not going to be Rome, it's not going to be Babylon, it's going to be Satan, which is going to be dispossessed out of the human soul. It's going to be the strong man, which is now bound by the presence of God and booted out of the throne of the heart. Then the old nature of sin is going to be annihilated. And you're going to be a new creation in the same old temple. Oh, glory to God. Set up on a governing principle of the grace of God. So it is within you a kingdom that is enthroned in the heart, but it also controls the demeanor, it controls the mind, it controls the will, it controls your emotions, it controls everything about you, everything that you will submit. Now you realize that it is a nature. Look, friend, we look around and see the world around us is getting darker and darker every week. We all know of the murders and all that of this man out in Las Vegas and all the horrible things that's going on, earthquakes, destruction, suffering everywhere, and yet the world is more wicked than it's ever been. And because the final stage of Satan's headship is coming on the earth, and you can see it in his people, because his own nature is being more prevalent among his subjects. Why? Because his headship is moving closer to him becoming incarnate on the earth. And as it's moving to that final stage, the people of his kingdom are becoming more like him. So he is a thief. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He is a deceiver. Look around the world. More thievery, more robbing, more murder, more this and that and the other. Why? The headship of Satan is becoming manifest on the earth. But let me turn it around on the other side. There is also another headship that is becoming manifest. What is that? The headship of Christ the Word. But Christ the Word at this time is not going to take the earth over, but he's going to take this earth over in a body change. So he's bringing his bride, his elect, under his headship, and they want to become more like him. Oh, glory. So the devil's people becoming more like him, the elect are becoming more like God. Not saying there's not a battle, not saying there's not a struggle, there is. And yet we will overcome. Notice this again in Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Now this is Luke, of course, writing about the pre-ascension of the Lord Jesus. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now I know we pointed this out, but let's do it again. That the disciples themselves are not born again. So they still don't understand the kingdom. Now, here they are alone with the Lord Jesus. It's not the Pharisees and scribes. It's actually the disciples, the closest ones to his heart. And they are asking him, he's fixing to go up. And they're saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is now the time you're going to do it? They still didn't get it. And they had heard all the sermons of the Lord Jesus and still didn't understand it. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Notice now, in answer to the question of the kingdom, but ye shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now they're asking about the kingdom of Israel. He answers them with the kingdom of God. Oh, is the kingdom going to be set up? He said, that ain't for you to know. But if you know what I'm talking about, the kingdom is coming like this. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The word come is to come to arrive of time, overtake one of the Holy Spirit, descending and operating in one. So the Holy Ghost, what is it? The coming of the kingdom of God. Don't get your eyes on the natural kingdom of Israel, because that's not what's next in line. What's next in line is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Now, Carol asked me the other day after I dealt with this, I think it was on Thursday, maybe after last week. Oh, she said, Donnie, what's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? So I thought that I might bring this in while we're dealing with this here. The word kingdom of heaven is actually exclusively used as far as in the four gospels by Matthew alone. Mark does not use it. Luke does not use it. John does not use it. Actually, when you study the Hebrew writings, you find that many times they considered the name God to be very sacred. If you look on many Hebrew Jewish websites, even to this day, and you'll look on there and you'll see G, and there'll be a half, and there'll be the slot, and there'll be D, because they would not put his whole name there, because they consider it sacred, and they consider using the name of the Lord God in vain, but to say it repetitiously, not cussing, but just saying it over and over and over again. So they will eliminate part of the letter. So they would substitute the word heaven for God. So when you say the kingdom of God, it could be also be interchanged as kingdom of heaven. But yet when you look at it, Matthew being a writer that he was, he wrote things a little bit different than the other brethren did anyway, but Matthew was the one who actually captured this in the phrase of kingdom of heaven. Notice Matthew chapter 3 verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John's message was a call to self-judgment. Now, listen carefully. His message was a call to self-judgment. Now, this is unlike any kingdom that had ever been, to where you judge yourself and you deem yourself needy of repentance. You realize, friend, if God can ever get us to sing our faults and our shortcomings and our failures, that's the only way God can help us. You understand that folks can never be changed as long as they're blaming everybody else for their problems. And they're never wrong, no matter whatever happens. It's always everybody else. It's the church. It's Brother Donnie. It's this one, that one. I feel sorry for a person like that, because even God can't help them until they realize their own faults and their own needs. God can't help you. The prophet tells us the zeal of the Laodicean church age, of the zeal of this hour, is to repent. Well, you're not going to repent unless you see something to repent of. And if you can't see your faults, I pray God open your eyes tonight and help you to realize that every one of us are flawed. We are faulty. Amen. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. There ain't a person here, preachers included, deacons included, trustees included. We have our faults. We have our failures. We have our shortcomings. And what do we need to do? We need to admit them, repent, ask God. Some things will leave from you immediately. Some it'll take a lifetime for you to get the victory over. But you'll never get victory by blaming everybody else for all of your things in life. And for many people, it just goes in a loop of a circle. They'll go to a church and, oh, I don't like the church. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. And they're not there 6 months or a year. And the same thing. Everywhere I go, there's people like that. You ever think it might be you? You think you might be packing them troubles along with you? People do jobs the same way. I went down there and worked. Sorry, bunch of people. They didn't appreciate all my ability. I'll go somewhere else. They go there and same thing happens again. And they go on down the road. You think, wait a minute, there's a pattern here. But most of those people, you can never get them to see it. It's always somebody else's fault. Look, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you've got to repent. You've got to repent. Well, you don't matter, Brother Donnie. Repent of what? Anything and everything that's wrong. Oh, my. So he urged the people to take sides with God against themselves. Now, you imagine how this went over to a hypocrite Pharisee, who looked at himself as being better than everybody else and above everybody else. And when they would go out among the common people, they wouldn't even touch them, of course. But if they got near them and touched them in the market, they'd go home before lunch. They would go home and wash plumb up to the elbows. And if they got very close to some sinners, they'd even change their clothes before they eat their dinner. You imagine telling them to repent? Sounds like some message, folks. Who does he think he is telling us to repent? A man of God led of the Holy Ghost. The only people I know of don't need to be to repent, those that are dead and move beyond the curtain of time. All the rest of us do, including the man preaching to you. Well, you say, how in the world can you preach to us if you need to repent? Same way Jonah did. How you figure Jonah could go down and preach a good sermon on rebellion? He just repented from rebellion himself. Amen. Glory. Notice though, instead of summoning them, all right, the king's coming. The king's coming. Grab up your bayonets. Grab your sword. And somebody grab a flag. All right, everybody get your slingshot. Go out there and pick up the stones. And said, all right, we're gathering an army for the king. I'm here to tell you he's coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God. They said, all right, praise God. I want to join up. What battalion you want to get down there and repent? Imagine them saying, I heard this man was wild. I heard he was just nigh on to being crazy. But I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. Repent! I paid alms. I do. What do I need to repent of? You sorry, low down, rotten sinner. Brother Donnie, I don't smoke. I'm a woman and I don't cut my hair. But you're eat up with spiritual pride. It wasn't bobbed hair that caused the devil to fall. It wasn't the devil sucking on a cigarette, drinking a bit of whiskey. You know what caused him to fall? His pride. Well, hallelujah. Yep, the pastor's home. Mine. Notice this. He calls them to a changed life. Why? The kingdom that's going to be established is a kingdom of purity. There'll be no plundering. There'll be no lying in it. There'll be no deceit. It's a kingdom of purity. So to get in it, you got to be born in it. And in order to start your birth, you got to repent and realize you're bad wrong. So God sent forth the forerunner of the king. Here he comes. Oh man, you imagine sitting out there. He stepped down there in the bank. The prophet said the mud squished up between his toes. He ate locusts and wild honey and had, oh my, you imagine he didn't have no suit like this right here. I guarantee you that. Standing out there wowing a buck. I mean, his hair probably frizzed up like I don't know what. My, the prophet said he never brushed his teeth. And you hear Ben Brown say, hey, man. He must have been as rough as a corn cob. Standing out there and said, repent. And little to know, this was the king's herald. Who in the world, what king would ever send a man like this? Most kings would pick out some guy that dressed so fancy and talked so proper, but not God. Amen. What did God do? God picked out a forerunner that would be exactly the one he needed. Now you imagine God picking out a forerunner like this. I'm not going to condemn anybody. I'm not here to say anybody's going to hell. Get out of the way. Glory to God. So here is the forerunner of the kingdom that's been anticipated for thousands of years. Rough sown, rough hewn, rough looking, rough speaking, rough eating, rough. Y'all think I'm rough? Imagine if we could hear John the Baptist, you'd think I'm a Cub Scout. So he's asking them to repent for the king's coming. Now this is the key. When you reject the king, you automatically reject the kingdom. Notice this in verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruit. So when you reject the king, your opportunity to the kingdom has now been taken from you. John wasn't trying to be mean. He's trying to be helpful to him. The phrase kingdom of heaven was used by Matthew 30 times in his writings. Notice again in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's heavenly rule is now going to be extended on the earth under the guise of the kingdom of heaven. Now it will not be a complete takeover of the earth, just elect hearts. That's right. It will not be an uprooting even of all evil. All death will not be destroyed. All suffering will not be annihilated. All sin will not be finished only in the hearts of the believers. Amen. So what is God doing? God is bringing down a sphere of the kingdom of heaven down into the earthly dimension by which the kingdom of heaven is now echoing to the kingdom of God on the earth. So the kingdom of heaven answers to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God answers to the kingdom of heaven. So it is a merging together by the baptism of the Holy Ghost of the attributes of heaven becoming tangible on the earth. Praise God, saints. You ought to be so happy tonight if you're born again. Notice this now. So our Lord teaches us to pray this way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born among women, Jesus told us, remember this? Read this about John. That Jesus said, pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven being merged upon the earth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you realize when you go to work, when you go to Walmart, when you go to Target, wherever you go, and you live a life that is worthy of the gospel, the attributes of heaven have merged into your life, and somebody checks you out, and somebody looks at you, and somebody waits on you, whatever more. You go to the barber and you get your hair cut, you get your oil changed, and they don't realize that you are the embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you're not the fullness of it, but you are an attribute of that fullness of God. Notice this now, the kingdom of heaven. Again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now listen carefully. John the Baptist received the Holy Ghost, but he was not born again. Remember, the Holy Ghost went into the prophets. John knew, oh glory, when the Holy Ghost came on Jesus, and Matthew said, remained on him. John knew, this is him. This ain't Isaiah. This ain't Ezekiel. Amen. Wow, the Holy Ghost come on them, it would leave them. It would come on them, it would leave them. But would it come on Jesus? Amen. It remained. You ever notice that word in the gospel? It remained. That was a key point to know. Divinity had taken up residence in humanity. This is not an ordinary prophet. This is the tabernacle or the Son of God. Oh, don't you understand? It's the same way with you. The Holy Ghost don't just come in you on the weekend and then leave and come back on Wednesday and leave. He's there every day, 24 hours a day. Jesus was your type. The Holy Ghost come on you and remains. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So notice Jesus says, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist was not baptized into the kingdom of heaven. He received the Holy Ghost in the sense of like a prophet of the Old Testament, in the same way as his parents was, the Spirit coming inside of them, as far as being born again with a new nature. How could you precurse the king? The blood's not been shed yet in order to be able to produce a new birth. So it comes on John, but did it go off? Who knows? But we know one thing, it remained on Jesus. I'm glad I don't just have an anointing that I get under three times a week. I'm glad this lives in me every day. Oh, think of it, church. Notice in verse 11, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, can you imagine when John and Jesus begin to preach? Here comes publicans, sinners, harlots, the low caste of people. And they begin to take the kingdom. Now they were considered poor. They were considered off-scouring, violent. Isn't it amazing when Jesus uses these words? They looked upon them as people who had no right to the kingdom of God. But Jesus uses these and actually types them to people as being violent. That when they heard the message of the kingdom, they reacted in a violent way. Violent, not in the way of killing people now. Not violence in the way of tearing up and all of that. They were violent with love. Violent with passion. Violent with desire. Now notice Jesus likening the kingdom of heaven to being taken by force. Who is it took from? The learned rabbis, the scribes, the Pharisees. And people look at us and want to know why we are so zealous. We are taking the kingdom by force.
Amen. Those who just sat around, well, I don't know. Suit yourself. I'll take your part too. You don't want the Holy Ghost? Suit yourself. I'll take it. You don't want your blessing? I'll take it. Why? Because I have a desire. I want more of God. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, it's suffering violence. What? Under the administration of Elijah the prophet, it had produced a zeal and a determination in the common people. And they said, you mean even we can be saved? You mean even we can have something? And they said, I want it. I want it. I want it. And Jesus looked at it as a parallel and said, the violent are taking it by force. So the violent are men of eager, impetuous zeal and desire. Now they're not murdering nobody, they're not killing nobody, they're not plundering, but in this violent, when you look at the Greek words, it is that they are going after this. Why? They have finally had something introduced to them that is so great. It has made them of a violent desire. Hallelujah! They'll press through a crowd if they have to. If the deacons try to hold them back and they've got a dead baby in their arms, they'll go over the deacon's back. They'll go under their legs. They'll go around the wire. The violent are taking it by force. Then I say, devil, you better move out of our way. Amen. You better move out of our way. Glory to God. The idea before John the Baptist, it was viewed, the scribes, the Pharisees, all those great doctors, they would be the ones that would go into the kingdom of God. A common, average person. They were looked down upon. They're poor. Poor raisins, poor eating, this and that and the other. You imagine this mentality in their mind. Well, it must be we're born to this low caste. God won't love us. We'll probably, even if we get to heaven, we'll be on the outside or something or another. And then when they go to hearing it, repent. Repent. They turn from violent. So they went to the house of God. They started doing it. Glory. Well, that's violent to a dried up old stick. They start hearing the word. They said, hallelujah. Them Pharisees sitting there said, my Lord, what in the world is the matter with these bunch of heretics? They've gone absolutely crazy. No, they turned violent. But they turned violent with passion. It's mine. It's offered to me. It's offered to you. And they said, oh, praise God. We can go into heaven. We can have a new birth. We can be partakers of the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And the violent are capturing it. They're taking it as their own. So they are appearing as if though these people are seizing it by force. And in the meantime, they're kicking devils out. We're not kicking saints of God out. We're not kicking the kingdom of God out. We're kicking devils out. Look out, devil, the violence taking over. That's why folks with this mentality, well, God wants me to have it. I guess he'll just open up heaven and unzip a big old zipper. And I'll just move over a little bit. If I'm not total sinner, I'll move over a 16th or so. All right, God. Here I am. You understand how fortunate you are that I'm sitting right here today. This is your day, God. I made your day. Go ahead and pour it out on me. Only thing violent about them is their old mouths. And their old attitude and their old nature. Who was it that Jesus so honored? Who was it that Jesus honored in the New Testament? When they come to him with their needs. Lord, my daughter's grievously vexed of the devil. He answered her, not a word. But what's she done? She'd been hearing the preaching of Elijah. It made her kind of violent. Lord, the disciples said, Lord, she's getting after us, and the Lord, run her away. Get her out of here. Lord, I can't imagine. Some of you, if I do you that way, you would never come hear me again. You'd go down to Brother Bill's, and you'd go down to Brother Richard's and tell the office, big pack of stuff everywhere. Brother Donnie told me to leave. Brother Donnie, run me off. Can you imagine a preacher doing that? And Jesus looked at that woman and said, woman, you're a dog. I'm not even sent to your race. Get out of here. But you know what? She heard the ministry of Elijah and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It turned her. What did she have? Violent faith. Oh, glory! She said, that's right, Lord. I'm not even worthy. I can't even sit up here at the table. I'm down on my knees as a dog, Lord. I'm down here. He said, oh, I've not found such faith in Israel. Where did you get this violence stirring up? They were excited. They were pressed upon. Because the kingdom was preached to them. So it made them violent. So they are grasping it for themselves. Like rough, violent bandits seizing the prey. But if we're not more careful, we get more churchy. More churchy. It's got to be done just this way for us, and so much singing, and the singing can't get above a certain sound, and you know, we can't shout at the beginning of the service. Why? I mean, where's the order of God that you have to wait till the end of service to shout? Well, you can't be happy at the end of service. Why? It makes the preaching a lot better if some of you didn't look like an old mule eating oats out of a half-inch gas pipe with your bottom jaw all dropped down, feel like the world's landed right on your shoulders. If you come in, you're happy and pull on the gift of God and act a little violent every now and then. Oh, glory! But Brother Donnie, I'm just not natured like you. Forget me. I'm talking about what Jesus said. But Jesus identifies some of you as being violent by taking the kingdom of God. This is extreme violence for some of you. You got wild in a buck right there. I mean, you was about to tear the place down. But would Jesus call you that? Now, you may consider yourself that. But would Jesus look at you and say, you have taken the kingdom with violence? You going to tell me that when Jacob met that angel down there, he liked to scare him to death out there? You know, it is after dark anyway. You're out after dark and you hear a noise, it puts you on alert. I mean, big time. You're out there after dark and you're praying and you hear a noise, a rustling, the cane bushes or whatever it was down there where he is at. And some man come out of there and grabbed a hold of Jacob and he said, ha, 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 kung fu, ha, chui, he, 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 oh, oh. But I'm not an emotional man, sir. I don't know who you are, but just get out of here before I have to hurt you bad. You imagine Jacob had a hold of him. Jacob was so violent that the angel said, let me go. It's breaking day. Why? Something got a hold of Jacob. He said, I want to be changed. I don't want to be the same man I am. I'm sick of it. If there's a kingdom, I want it. I want my part. What Jacob had to do, had to grab that angel by force. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You could tell by looking at him, he hadn't been to a tea party the night before. That was not the one they had at Boston. There'd been some violence going on. We could finish, spend the rest of the night right here, couldn't we? Oh, praise God, children. I pray God gets so a hold of our hearts in this cold, lukewarm Laodicean age that we're in, that we realize God's got something before us. But footprints means possession. If Joshua had not got a violent passion, a violent desire, would they have ever went anywhere? There was still much land to be possessed because the people became so passive. They didn't care. They got enough acres. That's all they wanted. But God said, there's more. There's more. I believe there's more than we've ever seen at Happy Valley. I believe there's a closer walk to God than we have ever experienced before. But only the violent will get it. Only those who have been interrupted in their passion for God. Now watch, this can be confusing to some when they read these terms in the book of Matthew. Matthew says in chapter 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So then this lets you know immediately that we're not talking about the millennium, nor are we talking about the fullness of the kingdom of heaven coming down on the earth to dominate the earth yet. But the kingdom of heaven, attributes of the king, manifesting himself through his attributes on the earth, the kingdom of heaven, is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed among the wheat, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. Now we know the word tares there is actually darnel. And the darnel was a plant, and still is, a plant that is so much like the wheat that it takes a very experienced farmer to be able to tell the difference. They stage almost the same in the way they grow. The darnel will go under the ground and intertwine its roots around the wheat. So when you pull up a darnel and you see one, you go, oh my, let's get rid of it. You got to be so careful. Because they'll intertwine their roots beneath the ground where you cannot see them, and they will grab right around the wheat itself. And when you pull that darnel up, you'll pull a great portion of the roots of the wheat plant. Oh, if you could only understand why pastors sometimes would deal with issues, and you say, why don't he do this? And why don't he do that? And why don't he do something else? Because you're looking above ground. He's looking above ground and underground. And he also knows there's other things involved in that situation that you don't know anything about. And he knows if he gets in there and pulls that thing up too quick, he'll cause a bigger mess than what's already there. So it takes the leadership of the Spirit of God. Now the darnel will produce its stages, as I said, about the same time as the wheat plant. Except when it comes to the final stage, the darnel will actually produce, instead of a seed which can be able to be eaten, it produces a little head of a grain which when eaten is poisonous, causes hallucinations, and can also cause death. If enough is eaten, now, a person go out and eat of them, they think, oh my, what good wheat, got good wheat. And yet they go to hallucinate, they go to getting sick. And if they eat enough, it will kill them. Oh my. So we know then that this parable is not just heaven itself, but the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. So the kingdom of heaven would have to be where then? On the earth. Oh my. You still with me? All right. Notice Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Leaven? Now leaven, of course, is error and false doctrine. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. Notice, not a man, but a woman, the church, took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now, the church took this, and yet Jesus says this is the kingdom of heaven like this. Yes, because it's the very kingdom of God on the earth with heavenly attributes and a heavenly king. But right in among where the saints of God are sitting are all these other potential things too. So he looks at it all and calls it all as if though it's in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels.
Amen.
Gathered the good unto a new body, vessels, but cast the bad away. And yet that, the kingdom of heaven is like unto that. Attributes of the king in the embodiment of his saints upon the earth. But he knows it will be so much like heaven in them, he'll go ahead and call it the kingdom of heaven. But among them will be what? The bad fish. So when the net went over you, no doubt it got a hold of a terrapin or a turtle or an old gar or whatever more. It pulled you in maybe the same night, maybe the same sermon the preacher preached. And yet what does it do? They're throwing the bad over here and the good over here and the bad over here. That's the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 verse 19. Jesus speaking to Peter. I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind. Oh, you mean so Peter ain't going to stand at the gate? Ah, sorry, Catholics. Jesus is giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But notice where the door is. On the earth. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So it's reciprocating because the kingdom of heaven is reflecting itself by human beings on the earth. Oh my. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Also the seven mysteries, of course, of Matthew 13, verse 1 through 52 are also titled under the same thing, the kingdom of heaven. Notice again Matthew 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent for servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would. How can people do this? They would not come. Notice now, this is the guest, not the bride. The bride is not in this parable. The bride don't make excuse. She makes ready. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come unto the marriage. Now remember, this is not the bride. This is the guest. Amen. The bride's already in the Father's house waiting. Glory to God. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. Why? Because they were not birthed into the kingdom nature. Now they are receiving the call. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who makes a marriage for his son. So in this parable, we can see that there's many different categories of people. There is the Father God, which is the invisible spirit. There is the visible son. So he makes a marriage for the visible son. Then there is the mystical bride, which is not actually seen in the parable itself. And then there is these people, and they go out, the servants go out and said, hey, you want to come to heaven? You don't want to be lost? Whosoever will, let them come. Let them come and say, oh yes, I want to go. I don't want to go to hell. No, I don't want to go to hell. And then they come back around. Hey, we're having a revival. You want to come? No, I can't right now, man. I'm really busy. You know what? I've took on a double shift, and I've got to pay for my boat and my car and my rat and my cat and my dog, and I've got to pay for a fishing trip and all these kind of things. I do to tell the Lord that maybe next year when I get everything all called up, I'll be back. So he sends them out and say, hey, you want to go to heaven? I really do, but I'm so busy right now. I just got so much going on in my life. It's really a busy time. He said, suit yourself. And what was the bribe of all this is going on? Making herself ready. Curled on her long hair. Oh, she didn't have bob hair. She had long hair. Curling her long hair and making herself all pretty. You know how long it takes a woman to get ready. I mean, so she's in there getting all ready and everything, preparing for the marriage. But now notice, this is the kingdom of heaven. So this is the overview of what's in the kingdom. Look, friends, many of these folks out here will be there. Amen. Oh, I know that's hard on some of you diehards, but some of us never heard the message of that. They won't go to no rapture. Hmm. If you're going to fly, you got to have a message to fly by. Enoch and Elijah are professional flyers. So if you're going to fly, you got to have a message of Enoch and one of Elijah. Enoch walked with God and was not. The scripture says he begat a son at 65 years old. And then he walked with God. Enoch didn't always walk with God. Wonder what it was that got a hold of him. Maybe he went down to the local restaurant one day, get a cup of coffee or something. There's some men sitting around a table. Some of the ancient sages. Let's just say, over in the corner was a man. But now he was several hundred years old. His name was Adam. This man started talking about a walk he had with God. And Enoch's heart smote him. Glory to God. I know it's hard for us to imagine that people live 800-900 years old. Adam's 930 years. You look at the genealogy of some of these guys, I mean, how they hung around one to another to another. You imagine Adam going around testifying. Adam never got restored that spot, but the seventh from Adam did. Wonder what it was that moved upon his heart. Senator Adam said, brothers, I'll tell you one thing. It was absolutely something. You know, me sitting there crying. There's all sitting there crying. Oh, my. To a lot of them, it's probably history. But to Enoch, it wasn't history. To Enoch, it was something more current, my brother. Let me tell you something. A lot of those folks listen to tapes, and all it is history to them. I don't want to listen to it to be history. I want it to be able to be a living Christ, Brother Darrell. I want it to be a violent something that rises in me, a violent passion, a violent desire to serve Him. Let me leave the table from sitting there with Adam. Let me leave there and say, oh, God, let me walk with You. That's another sermon. We'll pick that up some other time. Chapter 23, verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So it shows the kingdom of heaven had now come down upon the earth in a condescension, but it still had the ability to be shut off. Do you understand? Some of your parents tried to shut the kingdom of heaven up from you. The preachers where you used to go, that old Baptist church and Methodist and Pentecostal, they might have meant well. They didn't want you to get all deceived, so they thought, you know what they was doing? They were shutting the door of the kingdom of heaven to you. But something violently got a hold to you. You said, Pastor, I love you. Mama, I love you. Daddy, I love you. But there's a deep calling to the deep. Excuse me, sir. I've got to go back and get more. Oh, you better be careful. People going off the deep end with that serpent seed stuff. I'll tell you one thing. You better be careful. I am being careful. But all I know is there's something inside of me that ain't never been like it is right now. I've got a desire. I've got a passion for God that I never had sitting in this Baptist church. I can just see him as he begins his earthly journey. He comes out of the nest and he realizes as soon as he cracks the egg, he's different than everybody else. And as soon as his little half-brothers crack the eggs and they go to crawling out from under the hen, they look at him, and the greatest surprise of all is when the hen looks and she looks at this thing with a curled beak and big long feet and big long tail feathers. Hallelujah. Oh my. So all the little chicks come out. And little duties. That's what they call them down in Kentucky. Little duties. So all them little duties come out. And old mama hen goes to chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. Come on, little children. It's time for us to go to church. So they go up to the church door, and the deacon's standing there smiling at everybody, cigarette smoke all over his breath, all over his hands. Pastor's standing there behind him, just gargle this string, try to get it off of his. and they hand him out a little announcement of some sort, and that little eagle comes up there, and he takes one too, and he goes in and sits down. He can't really get comfortable in that pew because he's got them big long tail feathers. They're not really made for pew warming. Come on, children! It's not made for pew warming. Boy, he tries to deal with it. After church, they all go out for Sunday dinner, and she goes to the barnyard scratching around. Come over here, honey. Here's a little worm, and over here's a June bug, and over here's another little bug. All them little chickens run over there, boy, and they're just, nom, 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 nom. Oh, mama, that is so good. And that little eagle said, mama, mama, mama. He comes over and goes, oh, goodness, I can't believe y'all think that's good, but I'm going to have to eat it. I've got to survive. Oh, hallelujah. But one day, way back in the wilderness, I can see her. She goes to stirring around, and she goes to looking around, and she said, I know I've got a son somewhere. I know I've got a son. Well, why don't I just give it another male eagle and have another one? No, that son was in my mind. I cannot forget about him. Hallelujah to God. I cannot forget about my son. I've got to find him. Woo! Glory! I've got to find that boy of mine. I know he's out there somewhere. So here she goes, sailing down to the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Apostolic, the Catholic, the Unitarian. There he was. Hallelujah. Of course, they didn't shout much at the Baptist church. A lot of Methodist churches don't shout much anymore. He was kind of stillborn, you know. They didn't carry on much at their birth. So he didn't know really how to act and how to behave himself. Oh my, wish somebody would preach with me. He didn't know exactly how to carry on, but comes down through there and she says, oh, there he is. She banks her big wing. Coming in for a closer. Like an F-16 fighter. Oh, yeah, that's my boy, all right. That's my boy. Now, the only thing I got to do is get him to recognize it. If my voice can cause him to get violent enough. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If I can shout loud enough to cause a resurrection in my son.
So maybe she comes over and she kind of bends the tips of her wings, the feathers on the back, you know, to have the drag and just kind of set your wings like this. And when she does, my son. The prophet said he looked up in the heavens and he seen something like he wanted to be.
Don't you understand why? I want to keep the image of God in front of you. If I keep my image, you'll want to be like me. If I keep Brother Darrell or some preacher or some church, whatever image I keep before you, that's what you'll want to become like. I want to keep Jesus. I don't want to keep a preacher. I don't want to keep a man. I want to keep a church. I want to keep Jesus in front of you. And when Jesus screams, I say, that's what I want to be like.
So she banks and comes back down. He says, mama. Mama. And he looked at that hen and then looked at this. Said, no wonder I felt funny when I called you mama. And she answered back, my son. Now he wasn't a chicken that was chained into an eagle. He always was an eagle.
All he needed to do is get a little bit violent.
Now, can you imagine him? Some of the church folks. Calm down. That eagle is screaming. We don't believe in screaming in the barnyard. If she's got something to say to you, she can do it in a calm, collective way. He wouldn't have heard it. So she screams. You say, Brother Donnie, why do you have to scream? God ain't deaf. I know, but I think sometimes some of y'all are. I get violent about my religion. I ain't never hit nobody. I ain't never kicked nobody. I ain't never stomped nobody except devils. But I do get stirred up sometimes. I want to take it by force. Mama, what can I do? What can I do? She said, son, you got to get out of that starchy barnyard. Jump up on the fence post and I'll catch you. Well, chicken said, don't do it, don't do it. You're going off the high end. Don't do it. Chickens can go off the deep end, so you're going off the high end. It's like, this a mama? Yes. Mama, this is scary. Right. Keep coming up. Come on. There you go. That right now, Carol's scared to death, so she's afraid I'm going to fly. Mama, Mama, this is scary, Mama. It's all right, honey. You're born to do this. Glory to God. You imagine. Oh, as he takes off. And he goes acting plumb violent. Glory to God. I didn't know I could fly. Hallelujah. First, when he took off, his legs was kind of hanging down. He didn't realize them legs is drag. They're slowing down the velocity of my speed. Velocity? How did I know anything about velocity? Chicken don't talk about velocity. But what he found out was it was the image above him that kept bringing out the attributes that was buried inside of him. Ooh, hallelujah to God. He started talking eagle talk, and he didn't know what eagle talk was. And see him as he goes out through the barnyard. Looks back and said, see you around. Goes out here and banks and maybe turns around again. Now he looks at them chickens. Ah, chicken sandwich. McNuggets. McEaglets. Whoa, how in the world did I live amongst them all them time and not realize them dudes is good to eat? He got violent. And he bugs off his life. You imagine now he's ripping with the beak and blood flying everywhere. Why? It brought out that nature. Glory. Daniel, let's move down a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I was so hoping we'd get to this tonight, but it's probably a good thing because I probably would have flew plumb out that door. So we'll pick it up again, Lord willing, next week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Listen to this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The word translated is taking a race of people, moving them from one country to another. That's what's happened within us. We have been moved. This is why we don't feel at home in this world anymore. We have been translated. Praise God. Praise God. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's picked us up. A people that have been picked up and moved into another country. Into what? The kingdom of God. The merging together with heavenly attributes. And then when you do fall short of the glory of God and make a mistake, what do? Because the presence of the heavenly attributes, you repent. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Go to that brother, apologize. Go to your wife, whoever it is. I'm sorry, honey. That wasn't fitting for a son of God. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Why? You've been translated. Praise God. What happened to the eagle? He was translated. He was moved from the barnyard to the skies. Very soon, you're going to be moved from hell to heaven. Because already in your soul has been translated from the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of his dear son. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going. Let's sing it now. Oh, there'll be no dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. Do you love him, saints? Be ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh, there'll be no dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no dying there. We are going.
We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
We are going to see the King. Brother David.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Eagle call. We are going to see. Oh, we've heard the eagle call.
We are going to see the King.
Oh, we've heard the eagle call.
We are. to see the King. I'm gonna take a step into my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. One day I'm on the final step. He's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it call.
Oh, help me sing.
Yes, it's going to set me free, my theophany, and I hear it calling, oh, oh, it's calling, come up higher into the perfect word, come up a little higher into the agape love, come up. Oh yes! Sail through the heavenlies, my theophany. Well, I hear it call.
Oh, don't worry, little children. Sing,
little children. Should death knock on my door, you know that death is a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore over there. No heartache, no sorrow, grief or pain. Perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. One day I'm gonna take a step into my ego wheel. Another step.
Hallelujah.
Set me free, my theophany. Will I hear it call me? Over the next hill I look,
amen.
And I see victory.
I see Mama Eagle.
Around the next curve in a row, that old devil's got to flee. God's army is marching onward. Slay the enemy around the next curve.
Right.
I see Jesus.
Oh, help me sing it one more time. Glory to God.
One day I'm going to take a step for my theophany.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Take another step. Said I hear it call. I hear it calling me.
Hallelujah! Oh, give him a hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Glory!
Oh, ain't God's word good?
Glory.
I felt like we was going to leave this place tonight. It wouldn't bother me one bit. Amen. We come in this place, hear a message like we heard tonight. Amen. And the next thing we know, we're leaving here looking over the barn, y'all. Oh, God, help us be ready. God bless you. Service this weekend. Come expecting something good from the Lord. You love him.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you in the name of the Lord. One day I'm going to take that step toward my theophany. One day I'm going to take
theophany, I hear it calling me. It's a call and come up a little higher into the perfect. Oh, come up a little higher into agape love.